You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything was well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, and it had to be done, it should be done, it better get done, you did it. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is, and we love you for it. You did it. You didn't procrastinate. You didn't put it off. You did it. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives. Go to timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. In the drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. And there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate him. So, you're listening to African Perspectives. Where am I going with this? Oh, okay. Other programming. That's right. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Monday evenings from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 to 9 with Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And following that program is Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke, Sister Lacey, and in Cobra. And that's from 9 to 10. On Mondays. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. And if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays, from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The products are made by us. It's ever-expanding, all kinds of good stuff. Go to the website of WeBuyBlack.com. And also, check out the progress of developing a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. As big as this area is, we don't have a supermarket.
And in fact, in the city of Atlanta, we don't have a lot of stuff that we should have. In fact, we don't even have a gas station at a convenience store, not in the Atlanta area. And there's only one or two even in the metro area. Yeah, okay. We also would be so progressive. I'm going to tell you what it is, that damn church shit. That's what it is. I know PBS got a thing on the church, the black church. To me, I'm just keeping it real. Probably the sticking point for African people coming together and unifying and doing for self is the church. Yeah, I said it. Not only did I say it, I meant it. You know, I know some good people though who are in, you know, in the church, and good people. I do. And I think I know some progressive people, but I think all in all, that's problematic. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bamani Taimba has been taking our people to the motherland for many years, well over 400. And he has a trip upcoming in April 2nd through the 12th, going to Senegal and Gambia. Then from May 24th to June 5th of this year, going to Ghana. And then Tanzania, which is, of course, many people pronounce it Tanzania, but it's pronounced Tanzania. And that is November 18th through the 29th. November 18th through the 29th. Yes, I am planning on going. And then Ghana, at the end of the year, December 24th to January 5th, the holiday time, will be in Ghana. If you want to spend the holiday in Ghana, and that is going to be December 24th through the 5th. The prices for these are $3,700 per person. Put a $400 deposit down to reserve your trip of a lifetime and begin to pay as a payment arrangement that you can make. Everything you need is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. And, of course, if you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. And if you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. My good brother, Baba Binoco, got to give him a buzz, see what's up, because I haven't seen anything that he's promoting. But, of course, I'm going to always promote my dear friend, good brother, Brother Baba Binoco Rashidi, and what he is doing. His trips have been postponed, but he is doing a lot of webinars. And, of course, I enjoyed the webinar last week with the conversation he had with Dr. Bayina Bello of Haiti. HabashahIncorporated.org. HabashahIncorporated.org. They are doing the work. Please go online to HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by Establishing Schools at Home and Abroad. It is the educational foundation that we need that is ours. Okay? HabashahIncorporated.org. And the Kashi Project, the work they're doing here is phenomenal. Okay. The Ledge Group. Ledge stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. And, of course, they are doing the work in the four areas of importance to human life: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They're doing this work on the continent. They have over 12 programs. Over in six countries, over 170 people employed, and over 260 members, and you should become one as well. I know I want to become one. I'm going to become one, a member of the Ledge Group. Stated last week that by being a member, you have an opportunity to purchase land through Ledge, not through the government, through Ledge. The Ledge Group has done such great work. Many governments have confidence in the group. And so that government has allowed the group to sell land, to buy land through them. So if you're a member of Ledge, you have an opportunity to purchase land, $250 an acre. Put a G down, you got 4 acres of land. What can you do? Whatever you want to. But of course, the whole idea in all of the things that are happening on the continent is development. Okay. And not just to lay the land, just let it lay, but do something with it. Homes, businesses, whatever. Do something with it. Also, too, I'm going to talk about it after I go through all my little stuff I'm going to go through. Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder, a man who has inner vision. In fact, I always say that great visionary Stevie Wonder said, when you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. And damn it, we have been a suffering people. So he's moving to Ghana permanently. He's moving to Ghana permanently, and we'll talk about that after we go through all of the announcements, all the other things that I do here on this Monday morning. Okay? All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End on Ralph David Abernathy, across the street from Soul Veg, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And the Shrine of the Black Madonna is open on Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Open Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. Of course, they have all kinds of stuff. They got furniture, clothing, artwork, books, you name it. The Shrine has it. Check them out in the West End. My good sister, Mama Nia, at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. I haven't checked her out. I said I would, but I will soon. But give my Mama Nia, sister, a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all kinds of good stuff, and a lot more because she has a bigger store. And, of course, having a bigger store means she probably has to pay more rent. So, brothers and sisters, please support the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall if you're in that area. And if you're east of Atlanta and you're in the Lithonia area, stop at my good brother Gazimde Ajamu, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in the Main Street in Lithonia. And the number to call is 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us, their Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us. And the name of the program is Dare to Win. And that's every Thursday night at 9 p.m. from 9 to 10. You can call to listen, or you can call to give your questions, comments, or concerns at 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop, located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth number 2225. Booth number 225. For more information, contact Sister Shelley at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. They have an array of products and T-shirts and all. I mean, if you just need to support a black business, and you should, and better, this is one to support. That's Sun Goddess Scents on Jonesboro Road, 4140 Jonesboro Road. Sanjay-Haiti, sanjay-haiti.org. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia is doing outstanding work in the northeastern portion of Haiti. Please check it out. Go to sanjay-haiti.org. That's S-O-N. JE-AYITI.org. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, please make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute and send it to P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia 30310. Also, too, of course, in this day and age, you can use Cash App or PayPal, which, of course, makes it convenient. So if that's the case for you, please do that. On Cash App, it would be the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. I mean, if you can do $10, $25, $50, whatever you can do on a monthly basis to help with the work that they're doing. You know the work that Baba Baruti and Mama Yah Baruti are doing, and they need our support. All right, family. The Nye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 21st. I have been studying African religions and cultures for over 60 years. And all of that time, I have never seen where homosexuality was condoned or promoted in any way. African religion in general, and Ifa in particular, promotes the relationship between men and women and the procreation of life through them. Procreation through male and female relationships is the conduit by which the ancestors return. Baba Manahochi, who's an ancestor, but whose wife gave me my name, who I've talked with many times when he was living in Milwaukee before he moved here to Atlanta. This is profound. If you ask why confused Africans do what they do, know the answer is simple. The truth is never complicated, except for determined liars. Homosexuals, promosexuals, and like confusions have no other primary mission in life other than to disrupt and corrupt any and everything that is African and natural. They do what they do because they are caught up in the rapture of whiteness. The intensity of their self-hatred is so deep in them that all they want to do is disappear into Urugu. In any and every way they can, they serve their master and believe in his or her supremacy. Wittingly or not, they are agents, soldiers, whose sole mission is to assist in the genocidal removal of African thought, spirit, actions, and anything which, through its very presence, reveals Urugu for the degeneracy it naturally is and its genocidal intent toward African people. For these agents of Uruguayan order, disorder. The thought of being seen as anything remotely African is so terrifying to them that they would rather prefer spiritual suicide than to be identified in this way. Stay on guard. Do not let Urugu's eunuchs in. Affirm, as my ancestors, I am heterosexual. Affirm, as my ancestors, I am heterosexual. And I know we won't talk about this now, but we will talk about it in the future, because I understand many families, particularly here in America, now literally around the world, because the European, this was their concept. These things were not happening in other parts of the world. They are now. They are now. Homosexuality is just something that has been forced and been made to be accepted. Look at here in America. The agenda is so strong and so deep that if you want to be a politician, it'd be very hard for you to be a politician and not accept that. You cannot come out strong against that. You will lose. February 22nd. If you want to know how much independent power we have, count the number of Africans you know who can and will speak out openly against white supremacy, European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. Very few, I think you will find. This is because we are nearly all employed by Caucasian people, and we know that if we do anything to attack their system of Caucasian power, they will attack us, and one of the best ways to do that is to take away someone's job. Paul Infinomi Grant. Victory is in the hands of guided by the minds of whose warriors who have already won. If you come to the basketball court, the soccer field, or the chessboard full of apprehension and doubt because of your opponent's record or fabricated reputation, then you have already lost. If you are weary of battle, even though the war has yet to be won, and allow the enemy's propaganda of their progress and righteousness to seep into your effective morale, you have already began the process of self-defeat. Warriors must be ever vigilant of every thought entering their conscious and subconscious being. For weak, indulgent, indecisive, defeatist thinking leads to easy defeat. No matter the odds, no matter the duration in battle, no matter the difficulty, only the strength given through heartfelt courage brings victory. Bibi Fahodier family, we will be victorious. Bibi Fahodier. Affirm, I create my own employment. Affirm, I create my own employment. And that's what we must do. The Enye Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Your philosophy determines your thought patterns. Your thought pattern determines your attitude. Your attitude determines your behavior pattern, and your behavior pattern determines your actions. It begins with what you think, and because of what you think, it's what you do. It ends with what you do, your actions. So if you believe that our sisters, our beautiful queens, ain't nothing but bitches, hoes, and hoochies, then you will treat them as such. But if you believe our sisters are to be protected, are to be respected, cared for, and loved, then you would treat them with respect and care and love. It begins with what you think, your philosophy, and it ends with what you do, your actions. The same applies to the brothers, sisters. That's right. The same, we need each other, and we need the support of each other, the love of each other, the trust of each other, the willingness to do for each other. What you do for yourself depends upon what you think of yourself, and what you think of yourself depends upon what you know of yourself, and what you know of yourself depends upon what you have been told. And who's doing the telling? Urugu has been telling us for centuries of our inability to do anything, making us believe that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created a civilization of any kind, of any note, of any worth, and that is still happening to us today. What you have been told. So what we do for ourselves in a positive sense is not happening to the degree that it should because of what we have been told, giving us this whole idea of what we cannot do. We must not be the people who walked but left no footprints, who talked but had nothing meaningful to say, who labored but built nothing for themselves. And so we lay at your feet the builder's spade and shovel, and the mason's trowel and square, Africa's books of wisdom. Go now and build for eternity. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. And if you heard me from our ASCAC conference, Brother Gallman out of South Carolina did a beautiful tribute to Lester Velt Middleton, and his widow wife was there. He died really young, and what struck me was the fact that he he was building the house that they live in, his family lives in. He unfortunately didn't see it to total completion, but he got close. He was building the house, literally. So that now has deeper meaning for me when I read that. Deeper meaning. Like I said, we're going to talk today about a number of things. And, of course, you can always chime in if there's something on your mind. You can give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. And, of course, you know I love the great griot, Sister Kira Poole, And I just want to pluck this one because this is a good one, I think. I'm going to try to get more of her. And I'm going to try to contact her. That would be great. Try to contact that sister. She is fantastic. I just want you to listen to this.
Greetings to all the Great Griot family. There is a social media campaign that we are kicking off next week that I really want you all to participate in. I had the opportunity to participate in the Community Healing Network Global Emancipation Summit of 2016. The question that was posed to us in 2016 was, as Black people, how do we change our narrative? How do we change the circumstances that we all find ourselves in, no matter where we are throughout this globe? Each panelist who spoke contributed in their own way, but the question posed to us was, what was the idea we could do that we could have each individual person out here in this world do something really simple that can just contribute to help change the narrative? And I gave my suggestion, and it was selected. I said that we should look at starting a social media campaign that simply says, I'm African, born in America. I'm African, born in Haiti. I'm African, born in Brazil. I'm African, born in Puerto Rico. I'm African, born in Ghana. I'm African, born in Nigeria. I'm African, I'm African, I'm African. I believe that collectively we have to start unifying ourselves, because what good is it to teach history? What good is it to teach about this system and understanding our common enemy? What good is it to teach that if we don't even see ourselves as one collective? And when we see ourselves as one collective, then it becomes that your struggle is my struggle. Your victory is my victory. So until we get a collective mindset and unify our origin, then it makes sense for us that we are together and that we have one unified future to fight for. So that's my suggestion for 2017, is that we have to start making this push to say that I'm African. We are Africans first, and push that Pan-African mission, you guys. So how can you contribute? Starting next week, which is also the week of African Liberation Day, we are going to push this hashtag on all of our social media sites. We're going to say it with pride that we are African, no matter where we're born. There is no better time than right now to use the tools that are sitting right in front of us constructively to push for a united front. But there's more. The goal of this campaign is to truly show that we are one, no matter where you're born. And when our brothers and sisters are struggling in other places, that is our struggle as well. When our brothers and sisters are fighting the same enemy, that is also our fight. So we decided to dedicate what we're doing with this campaign to that cause. A close friend of mine just got back from Haiti, and what she experienced in Haiti, she's going to come and share with us. But I will say that our brothers and sisters in Haiti need us. So if you see the shirt that I'm wearing, which is the hashtag I'm African born in, and the country where you're born, each purchase of this shirt, the profits are going to Haiti. During the week of our campaign and the following month, profits from any shirt that is sold is going to our brothers and sisters in Haiti. So make sure you join in the campaign. We really need you, each individual person, no matter where you were born, African descendants. Use the hashtag, I'm African born in, and we are one. And last but not least, if you want to contribute to our brothers and sisters in Haiti collectively, then purchase one of the shirts, and your profits are going to Haiti.
Love that sister, Kara Poole. That's the great griot. And I have played some of her spots that she has produced, and I will continue to play more. She's produced some new ones. At least they're new to me. I'm not sure, because yes, you can hear this piece. It was from 2017, you know, 4 years ago. And when she announced it, it was in May. May 25th is African Liberation Day, I really would love us to push African Liberation Day, brothers and sisters. To me, that is the most important of the holidays that that we have is African Liberation Day. You know, so I really would love us to do that, is to push African Liberation Day. Because we are African. You know, I've been pushing to say Africa is the noun. Africa is the person, place, or thing. Africa is the noun. There's a word that goes in front of the noun, so Africa is a suffix. There's a word that goes in front of it, and that describes, which is the verb, that describes what the noun is. So, as she said, she's an American African. I'm an American African. People who are listening mostly are American Africans. But there may be some Botswanian Africans, some Cameroonian Africans, some Ghanaian Africans, Nigerian Africans. You get the picture, right? Brazilian Africans, Venezuelan Africans, Colombian Africans, Jamaican Africans. I could go on. That's what she's saying. Africa is the unifying force for us. We are Africans. And the greatest potential for us as Africans is the unification of us. Everybody knows that, and that's why they desperately try to prevent that. I've mentioned this many times before. I was at the convention, the NAACP, when I was a member of the NAACP. I was vice president of the Milwaukee chapter. But anyway, I went to the convention in Denver, Colorado in 1980. Ronald Reagan came to the convention. Yuck. But anyway, Ben Civiletti, Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, was in attendance. And I Attorney General. The national security advisor was Zygmunt Brzezinski. And I mentioned to him a piece that Zygmunt Brzezinski put out, basically stating that we must do everything possible to prevent Africans on the continent from hooking up or unifying with Africans in the diaspora, particularly Africans here in this country. Of course, he said he had no idea what I was talking about, but I'm quite sure he did. Didn't make a difference. But they recognize this system has, this system of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege has constantly recognized that they must do any and everything that they can to prevent that from happening. Well, of course, Stevie said, hey, I'm tired of it. Legendary singer and pianist Stevie Wonder has hinted that he would soon relocate to Ghana permanently. He said that in a recent appearance on an Oprah Winfrey series, The Oprah Conversation, he explained that he is fed up with the racial injustice in America and would rather relocate to a place where he will be respected and feel welcome. And I agree. I'm saying to us, brothers and sisters, there is no reforming this. There is no changing this. The only thing that we must do is prepare to get out. Yes, I know. A lot of us ain't gonna go because we tied by job, by obligations, the home that we just purchased, the car we got, the fact that I'm in school, the money I gotta pay back, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I understand it. But even though you're physically tied, don't be mentally tied. Whatever obligations that you have to make, you do it. But begin to help those and begin to help those who are making that trek to go home and to reestablish Africa, not just Ghana, not just Nigeria or Tanzania or Kenya or Southern Africa, whatever, but the continent itself. The continent itself. That's why I'm an avid proponent of the Pan-African Federalist Movement. I thought we had a good hats off to Mama Nabantu. A great job, my sister, and our North American leadership. You know, did an outstanding job of explaining, helping brothers and sisters. It was good to see brother Ted Lusk too. You know, he was on the call and explaining how important it is for us to begin to do this work of unifying African people on the continent so African people can control the land and the resources and become a player in the world instead of the pawns that we are. Making sure that China, if China wants to do something for us, what are the real deal? What is the hidden cost? But China don't need to do you know I was going to say shit. China don't need to do sugar, honey, iced tea for us because we could do it ourselves. We have the ability. We have the expertise. But the point is, and you know, if you listen to this program, I'm always talking about will. The will, the internal fortitude to do it, the serious mind to make it happen. Do we have the will to do it? Do we have the will? He explained that he is fed up, Stevie Wonder, with racial injustice in America and would rather relocate to a place where he would be respected and feel welcome. I just called to say I love you. Hitmaker said, and he cannot watch his great-grandchildren beg for respect and recognition. I agree. Stop begging these folks. Please, please respect me. Please let me go to your school. Please give me a job and please promote me. Please, please, please. I love that song when James Brown did it when he was talking to the sister. Please, baby, baby, please, baby, please, please. But I hate begging and whining, especially to an entity that can't stand us and has shown in every way their willingness to destroy us. I want to see the nation smile again. I want to see it before I move to Ghana, he told Oprah. I'm going to do that. I'm going to move there permanently. She was shocked. She was, you're going to move there permanently? Yeah. Because I don't want to see my children's children have to say, oh, please like me. Please respect me. Please value me. And Stevie said this, what kind of sugar, honey, iced tea is that? That's what he said. What kind of shit is that? He added, I want the world to get better. I want us to get beyond this place. I want us all to go to the funeral of hate. That's what I want. Yeah, well, you ain't going to that funeral because these folks are emboldened now because of Trump. Hate is on the menu and they serving it up. This is not the first time the 70-year-old has said that he will relocate to Ghana. In 94, he said he wanted to move from Los Angeles to Ghana. Speaking at the International Association of American African Music in D.C. at the time, he said he felt in love. He fell in love with Ghana during his visits. I have to admit, I do too. I have to admit, I fell in love. The first time I set foot in, and that's why I've always said that, you know, if you want to go to Africa, Ghana would be probably the best place to go first. And if you want to go, contact Brother Bumani Tahimba at africa40africans.org. And you can go. He has a trip upcoming. He's been multiple times. Has taken many of our people there. And it's a first class trip. You will see the good sights. Speaking at the International Association in D.C., Stevie Wonder said, there's more of a sense of community there. He considered one of the most successful songwriters and musicians of all time, who said, I'm moving to Ghana. And I agree. Here's the piece that he did with Oprah. You know, let me see if I can get this right here, okay?
I promise you, if you do the right thing, I'll give you the song. I'll give it to you. You can have it. Because I want to see this nation smile again.
Oh.
And I want to see it before I leave to travel to move to Ghana. Because I'm going to do that.
You're going to move permanently to Ghana?
I am.
You are? Why?
Because I don't want to see my children's children have to say, oh, please like me. Please respect me. Please know that I'm important. Please value me. What kind of...
Yeah. What kind of sugar honey iced tea is that? Love Stevie. Love him. The man with inner vision. But it's the move. It's the move we must make. No, not to Ghana, but to the homeland. You pick a country. You go there. Go check it out for yourself. Yes, we know the problems. We know the problems that Africa has. The problems that Africa has can be solved by Africans. If Africans have the will to do it. We're going to talk today about the movie. Oh, also too, Coming to America is coming out. And so I invited my good brother, Akil Parker, again to be on Friday. And we're going to talk about the new movie, Coming to America. It is Owen, and how it relates to us as African people and what it says to us. But we're going to explore today Judas and the Black Messiah and the Klan Act. Judas and the Black Messiah and the Klan Act. And we'll talk about that movie, the lawsuit by the NAACP, the lawsuit that was presented by Brother Benny. What's Brother Benny's name out of Mississippi? Congressman. Benny Compton. I'll get it. But yeah, he has a lawsuit coming out that because of what happened. But this article is by Jelani Cobb. And Jelani Cobb, he writes, what does he write for? He's a staff writer for the New Yorker and the author of The Substance of Hope, Barack Obama and the Paradox of Progress. And he teaches journalism at Columbia University, Brother Jelani Cobb. And so we're going to go through his article from the New Yorker. And once we come back from the break. But I wanted to play that because, you know, to me, Stevie Wonder, you know, if he can see this, I know damn well you can see this. Yeah. But of course, Stevie Wonder has inner vision. So he's a lot more in tune than a lot of us, because a lot of us can see, but we are blinded to the reality or the perceived reality of what Urugu has done. We are mesmerized, so we really don't see. You know, so I look forward to, you know, more interesting things to come up about what's happening with Stevie Wonder. And I hope the people do that, because to me, this is the move we need to make, and he's making it. And so we need to know more as it progresses. And how do you do it? How can it be done? Why? So we got to do it. We have to do it. If we, you know, if we talk about salvation, if we talk about, you know, there's only one thing that I feel more so than anything, and that is repatriation of African people back to the motherland and African and Africa to be one, a united African states. It is our salvation. It's not religion. It's not Jesus. It's not Christianity. It's not Islam. It's not any of a, it's not any religion. It is spiritual. Oh, it is spiritual. But it is what we as African people must do. Put your religion in your back pocket. As Malcolm said, if I come to the table to talk about the issues that are affecting African people and I'm talking about Islam, I'm going to have some problems. There'll be Christians there. There'll be Jehovah Witnesses there. There'll be a number of other people who have different faiths there, and it's going to be an issue. So why does this affect us? Does it affect us because we're Christian? Does it affect us because we're Muslims? No. It affects us because we are African. Because we are African. And the thing that we must do is come together as Africans to deal with these issues. So when we come to that table to discuss these things, what is paramount? What is the main driving force? Is what are we going to do as African people to bring the continent together, to bring African people together? Because if you want to stay in Europe, if you want to stay wherever you are, you want to stay in the Fafalas of Brazil, if that's what you want to do, but then you know that you feel more pride, you feel more accomplished because African homeland is free. And you know that you're an African, just as my good sister said, the great Griot. We are African. See, I'm an African, not because I was born in Africa, but because Africa was born in me. And this didn't happen overnight. I remember what I'm going to talk about with the food program, the Black Panthers. I remember the Republic of New Africa. I remember a lot of things forming and so forth. Yes, I got messed up and got high in the 70s. But I came on the fire department in the 70s, in the mid-70s. And that helped me. That helped me to read a lot and become more of a brother who has a love and a respect for Africa and Africans. A respect for our sisters, a respect for our brothers, our traditions, our institutions. And I'm willing to fight for them. I'm willing to fight for them. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll talk about the movie, Judas and the Black Messiah and the Klan Act. Familiar, I'll get you familiar with all those things. And of course, you can join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com. and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie. on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and that is Eastern Times and other programs that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds with public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And that's followed by from 9 to 10, Conversations Reparations with my good brother, Brother Jamoke, and Sister Lacey from Encobra, Brother Jamoke Infantayo. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then from 7 to 9 on Thursdays, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Benisiwa Ayan. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturday, the Sankofa Elders Council. If it's Sunday and it's 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Rich. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Ramsey Lewis and Earth, Wind, and Fire, Sun Goddess. That's right, Sun Goddess Sense. I just played that song. I said, oh, that's Sun Goddess. And I want you to check out Sun Goddess Sense, located in the International Discount Mall in Jonesboro, in Forest Park, rather, on Jonesboro Road, and give my good sister Shelly a call at 404-434-7963, 404-434-7963. Yeah, Ramsey Lewis, 85 years old, still living in Chicago. Man, beautiful. I never forget listening to Ramsey Lewis. In fact, the first song of note that Ramsey Lewis made was in 64, The In Crowd. I'm in with the, remember that? I'm quite sure you do. 65. Sun Goddess was made in 74. And he put a song out recently, 2019, as part of his Urban Nights collection. And this is number 7, Urban Nights number 7 off the Rope-A-Dope label. And 2019, so he's still doing his thing. Bless him, man. Songs from the Heart, Ramsey Plays Ramsey in 2009. So, I mean, you know, Ramsey Lewis, right on. He's a treasure, y'all. I'm serious. He's a treasure. And so, the movie Judas and the Black Messiah. Baba Jamu and Baba Sajifo, my good brother, the international jeweler. He's just fantastic. He's so creative. He's just just sharp. Love Saj. They called and asked me what I, because they were going to show the movie at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. This Saturday, but I already had committed with the family, and so they wanted me to moderate and do some other things, and I'm more than willing to do so, you know, definitely. Even, I mean, if I didn't have that to do, I'd have done it. That's no doubt about that, you know, and because they were going to discuss the movie, and, you know, and it definitely needs to be talked about, you know. Of course, one of the problems that some of the people had was the movie was not about Fred Hampton. It was about William O'Neill, the brother, or should I say, the individual who was the informant. You get the movie from his perspective. And of course, if you go on YouTube, you know, I think they have the whole from... They have the whole interview from Eye on the Prize, which, of course, it was said after the interview, some days later, he committed suicide. And they said he committed suicide. I think he jumped out of a car or something like that. I don't know.
I got to get the details, but I don't think that he did. You know, I don't believe that he did that. And of course, if you know me, I'm skeptical of every damn thing. If the government says he did it, I say he didn't. I have such deep distrust for this system, I tell you. Judas and the Black Messiah and the Klan Act. Once again, this is by Brother Jelani Cobb from the New Yorker. A new movie and a lawsuit filed by the NAACP highlights historic disparities in the official response to radical groups. Early in Shaka King's new film, Judas and the Black Messiah. In fact, Brother Ray Winbush, who is now at Morgan State, who used to be at Fisk, that was one of his students, King. He was Stephen King, I think, at the time. Now he's Shaka King. I think that's who he was at the time. And gave him inspiration to do the movie. Let me see if I can. I don't know if I kept that piece. But yeah. Yeah. Brother Ray Winbush. Good brother. Man, he's a very good brother. Yeah. And who loved Francis and Mama Ani and many others. Just a good brother. Really enjoyed just spending time with Ray Winbush. When I first had a chance to meet him back in the National Black United Front. He did a number of items. He was here in Milwaukee. He was in Milwaukee for the conference that we had. Ray Winbush and in Chicago with him and Marimba. So, Brother Ray Winbush. William O'Neill, an American African informant, had a conversation about why O'Neill has been asked to infiltrate the Black Panther Party and gather intelligence on Fred Hampton, the leader of the Illinois branch. Don't let Hampton fool you. This is Mitchell. This is Roy Mitchell, the Caucasian FBI agent. Don't let Hampton fool you, Mitchell said. The Panthers and the Klan are one and the same. They are one and the same. That's a damn lie. Their aim is to sow hatred and inspire terror. It's a pointed moment, not simply because it prefaces Hampton's death at the hands of Chicago police officers doing a raid in December of 1969, but because it presents a moral equivalent that raises more questions than it answers. You know, they're always doing these equivalents. Well, yeah, damn. Well, what about this? What about that? The whatabouts? You know? No. It's a whole different thing. The Klan rose after the Civil War and orchestrated a campaign effectively revoked African citizenship. The Panthers were born a century later as a reaction to the ways in which that campaign has been successful of sowing terror in our community, particularly through the police department across this country. See, one of the things I've always said when I came into an understanding, as a young person growing up, you don't see, a lot of times you don't hear some of the things that I remember hearing as a child coming up before, because, you know, I was born in the early 50s, and so the decade you were born in, the following decade is when you grow up. So the 60s, I grew up. And in that time, I remember seeing a piece on CBS, Mike Wallace. Not, they didn't have 60 Minutes. It wasn't that. Mike Wallace has been a reporter for many years for CBS. As his son has been a reporter or news person for Fox News for many years. But there was a program called The Hate That Hate Produced. Never forget watching it. And how they talked about Malcolm X. And you can go on YouTube and pick this up, I believe. There's a lot of stuff you can get off YouTube. the hate that they produce, basically saying that the hate produced the hatred of the black Muslims, of Elijah Muhammad, of Malcolm X, of Farrakhan. The hate that hate produced. And I remember watching a piece on the Mau Mau, the migrant workers. All these things as a young person, I remember coming up. And then, of course, getting a little older, the disturbances of the 60s, Newark, Watts, Chicago, Milwaukee, and living through them, the rise of the Black Panther Party. If you listen to this program, you know I had respect for the NAACP. I was a member of the for a minute, so I couldn't share and say I was a member because I did, you know, of the NAACP Youth Council, which was very radical at the time, led by a Caucasian, Father James Groppi, but very radical. Went through some marches, a big open housing march to the south side of Milwaukee, which is very segregated, had bricks and stuff thrown at us. And then the big open housing march down one of the main streets in downtown Wisconsin, you know. Did some radical things at the school that I attended. Walked out for Black History Month. So I'm saying, you know, these things are real. They are real. And these are things out of response towards this country's unwillingness to this present day, and I believe forever, to allow African people to be a part of this madness, which we shouldn't want to be. Most significantly, the Klan used terror to achieve this end. The Panthers were guilty of sporadic acts of violence, but they had no ethos of terrorizing swaths of the public. That distinction places the FBI's action in Chicago in stark relief. The killing of Fred Hampton, who was just 21 years old when he died, was part of a coordinated strategy employed by the federal and local law enforcement agencies across the country to disrupt the Black Panther Party. The radical, armed, self-defense-orientated Panthers were not alone. Under the direction of J. Edgar Hoover, the FBI's COINTELPRO initiative targeted the most pacifist wings of the civil rights movement. That's right. SCLC, Urban League, and of course the NAACP. It extensively surveilled and menaced Dr. King. Activities that are chronicled in another new film, Sam Pollock's documentary, MLK, /FBI. And of course, you know, they would send him messages. We got you on tape. We got you over that woman's house. We got you here. We got you there. You should just go ahead and commit suicide. We're going to call your wife. We're calling Coretta right now. You might as well go ahead and commit suicide. Yet the Bureau took no such actions against the leadership of the Klan, which was responsible for an uncountable number of murders, or against George Lincoln Rockwell's American Nazi Party, which formed in opposition to the civil rights movement. This contrasts in response to even more remarkable, even a comment that Joe Biden made last month when he nominated Merrick Garland to be the attorney general. Biden said that Garland would restore integrity to the Department of Justice. It oversees, Department of Justice oversees the FBI, which he added was created during the administration of Ulysses S. Grant to enforce civil rights amendments and to prosecute the Klan. Yeah, right. Like so much of this nation's traumatic racial history, the false equivalents that Shaka King depicts in this movies have gained renewed salience. Last week, the NAACP filed a lawsuit. Benny Thompson. Man, Oshie. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I got to start taking some. Because, I mean, some of this stuff, you know, and I should be remembering this. Anyway, last week, the NAACP filed a lawsuit on behalf of Representative Benny Thompson, Democrat of Mississippi, the chair of the Home Homeland Security Committee against Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers for violating the Enforcement Act of April of 1871. That's the Klan Act. The Klan Act, as it is known, prohibits the use of force, intimidation, or threats to prevent government officials from executing their responsibilities. The suit argues that attempts to interrupt and to interrupt the certification of the Electoral College vote qualifies as such a violation. The Klan Act, which also made people liable for impeding any citizen's rights to vote, and authorized the president to use military force against attempts to curtail the rights guaranteed in the 14th Amendment, led to many hundreds of indictments against the Klan and their affiliates in the 1870s. The group was forbidden, promoted for many decades until 1915. The film, The Birth of a Nation, reignited interest in the Klan. Yet the government's successful disruption of the organization serves as an example of what can be achieved through legislation and bureaucratic commitment. Grant, who commanded the Union Army during the Civil War, understood better than most that the dangers presented by militant Caucasians were not limited to American Africans and would eventually touch every corner of the nation. That insight was all but lost on subsequent generations because it always flourished. Nothing was ever done. And of course, it culminated into what everybody had seen in January 6th. On October 6th, the Department of Homeland Security released a threat assessment stating that ideologically motivated lone offenders and small groups pose the most likely terrorist threat to the homeland. These lone wolves, not the huge organizations and what you've seen, some individual who were just like that pipe bomber. Although those bombs didn't go off when all that stuff was happening, he placed a bomb at the Democratic Committee and the Republican Committee office. With domestic violence extremists presenting the most persistent and lethal threat and expressing particular concern about European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, and the violent extremists. The report warned that some elements might target events related to the 2020 campaigns, the election itself, election results, or the post-election period. So that information they had, they knew it was out there. But you've seen what happened. 3 months later to the day. And this was, of course, the date I'm just referencing was October 6th. Was October 6th. 3 months later to the day. An unyielding alliance of right-wing radicals, some bearing Confederate flags, stormed the U.S. Capitol, took actions that led to the death of a police officer, and called for the hanging of Vice President Pence. Pipe bombs were planted near the headquarters of the Democratic and Republican National Committees. Police made relatively few arrests on that day, and as of last week, well over 200 people have been charged. But the initial leniency, especially compared with the law enforcement response to the Black Lives Matter protest last summer, did not go unnoticed. They dogged out the brothers and sisters in the Black Lives Matter protest. But once again, brothers and sisters, that's why, you know, we do that. Y'all didn't treat us like that. Y'all treated them real well. Y'all dogged. Yes. And they're going to continue to do so. The Klan, the skinheads, the neo-Nazis, the Proud Boys, these guys, that guy, these are Caucasians. Yes, they may be a threat to this country, but they are still Caucasians. The concern is not simply the disparity in treatment, but the continued reluctance to recognize Caucasian radical extremism has a security threat. And it is until the problem has metastasized. You know, I know what that means, metastasized. Last Tuesday, the Times reported that at least 30 law enforcement officers have been identified as part of the mob at the Capitol. Last Thursday, they reported that at least 30 law enforcement officers. In recent years, law enforcement departments in Virginia, Florida, Nebraska, Louisiana, Michigan, and Texas, as you can see across the country, have fired officers for their membership in the Klan. A year and a half ago, the Philadelphia Police Department fired 13 officers for posting racist or offensive messages on Facebook. Last month, more than 100 officers were injured as they attempted to protect the Capitol, but the public also realized with alarm that among the officers' ranks may have been some of who were there sympathetic to the crowd. The fact that the NAACP has invoked a Klan Act to file suit against the former president is notable. But not only nearly as notable as the reasons that make the law applicable today. Biden, in his inaugural address, took the unprecedented step of declaring the need to destroy European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. The need to destroy it, yeah. Like Grant, he inherited a situation in which the prosecution of those forces is essential, not only to his agenda, but to the American democracy itself. The Homeland Security Assessment noted that the threat of domestic extremism will persist at least through the early part of 2021. Bureaucratic underestimation sounds like. It has taken decades to recognize the threat. It will persist to spell longer than the spring. Yes, it will. It will persist in a spell of longer than the spring. Article written by Brother Jelani Cobb, who was a staff writer at the New Yorker, and the author of The Substance of Hope, Barack Obama and the Paradox of Progress. The Substance of Hope, yeah. We keep holding out hope, don't we? I swear we do. We be holding out hope. Lord, Lord, Lord. So, join the call. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. If you're on the board and some are, hit star twice. Let me know that you want to get in and have and be on part of this conversation. Or if there's anything else that you want to talk about, we got a half hour to go. So give me a buzz. One of the things that we needed to understand as well is that what the Black Panthers did, as opposed to the Klan didn't feed nobody. The Klan was a straight-up terrorist organization. The Klan had members within the society that were part of a church, that were part of the local government, that were part of the merchants of that village or town or whatever. And of course, in the 30s or 40s, there was a huge Klan march down D.C. They have always shown, and there are so many sympathizers, previous president being the one, because of what the Klan stands for. It stands for a status quo of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege being maintained. Now, you know, this government and this system has always had a thing about giving you the illusion, or giving us the illusion of inclusion. Probably from the day those bills were signed, those amendments excuse me, I'm sorry, these amendments were made, giving you the idea that, yes, you too can be a part of this great nation that we have created for ourselves. And so out of the response of the terrorism that we have experienced across this country, it does not make a difference whether you're in the north, the south, east, or the west. Caucasians have the mindset that this is ours. We took this not for some damn experiment of a melting pot, of some kind of multiracial society, some kind of equitable society. No, we didn't create this for that. We created this for our prosperity, for Caucasians, for Caucasians of other groups. If you're Lithuanian, if you're whatever you is, you're a Caucasian, you can come here to America. Just like they've tried in other countries to increase the Caucasians in those countries, you can come here and you can be a part of this great nation that has been established for and by Caucasians for their benefit. And the people in it just serve it. The people who they took the land from, who they tried to make them work, and they constantly rebel or they die because of the diseases you gave them, and then they brought us. They brought us to work. And they took the land from the indigenous people and moved them consistently if they found out there was some worth on that land. These are evil people. And their root of their evilness is not going to go away. There is nothing we can do. There's nothing we can say. And I know there are some of us, well, we done did so much. I would hate to leave after all that we have done. Your usefulness is over. Ain't no more cotton to pick. No more tobacco. Ain't none of that. Your usefulness in the society is over. And even though some of people in the society would like for at least to have some numbers to give an appearance, but there's some that give less than a rat's ass about an appearance, they want you gone. They don't want to compete. They don't want you taking jobs, positions. They want you gone. I got a caller. 646-646, good afternoon.
Hey, yo, Osi, what's happening, my brother? Are you telling me that the black man, black ass, ain't of no value no more to the cracker?
Yeah.
I kind of agree with you. I've been saying it for years.
Yeah.
I think they show it to us every single day.
I agree.
They only use you when it serves them some purpose to continue and move forward white supremacy.
Yep.
Ain't nothing in the world like it.
No, I mean, whatever we did, that's done. You know, all the things it's done. And they wish we would disappear.
Black behind someplace else.
Yeah, I mean, in fact.
Move along quickly. Yeah.
In fact, I think, considering how the world is and diminishing resources, they would rather enact genocide on us than to say, you go over there. No, because they want the world. They want the world at their disposal. You know, and so so what they have planned for us is, over time, genocide. You know.
Well, I would assume that genocide would be the thing in order for them to survive. I mean, I can't think of anything else. I mean, whatever purpose would you serve and do you serve to them other than, you know, being their as one would say, boy or girl. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not serving any real purpose to them.
No, not at all.
Because they have an agenda. Their agenda is survival. And, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to do whatever it takes to survive in a situation that we are facing right now as a people. It's unfortunate that we don't understand it.
Yeah, we don't. We really don't. That's why Stevie. That's why Stevie Wonder is such a great visionary. He said, "When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer."
That's right.
And we have been a suffering people because we fail to look at things deeper. We fail to grasp our African knowledge and spirituality because we've been made to feel ashamed of it. And as a consequence, we look at things outside of who we are and we want those things. We go after those things. And of course, by getting those things, we diminish ourselves.
Well, unfortunately, we suffer because of the lack of knowledge. And the lack of knowledge is based on the fact that we don't want to see the oppressor for who and what he is. And the oppressor is not going to change his oppression against African people at no point in time. It's just not, you know, anything that's not beneficial to him. I mean, he benefits from our oppression. He benefits from the fact that we suffer in the manner in which we do. So, I mean, hey, you know, why would one change their position and give up their position to power? You know what I mean? I wouldn't.
Dr. Clark said a powerful people never give the powerless people information to take their power
never
from
give them.
Them
anything.
Don't give them nothing.
No, their sole purpose is to constantly put their foot on your neck. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that we don't have that mentality to put our foot on the white man neck. I mean, you know, if the truth be told, we need to have our foot in his behind and on his neck every chance we get. Yeah. If you look at the Black Messiah, the movie, and all of that, what it shows you is that the master will go to whatever lengths that he has to go to keep his position of power, and he will manipulate and use anyone. Now, they said that after the brother did the interview on Eyes on the Prize, that he committed suicide. They said he walked into traffic and got hit by a car.
Right.
I would say it's possible, and it may not be possible. But the issue is, and this is what I say, until we get to the point, to be honest, us doing what we have to do, if individuals like that, we don't, as a people, take care of them ourselves,
right,
then, you know, we just gonna be punked. I mean, the reality is, if you know that there's a traitor in the community, you're supposed to eliminate him. That's what everybody else does. You know, if somebody's a traitor in Israel or any other place, they usually eliminate him. I mean, who's the baddest boys on the planet? They say it's the Mossad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, the reality is the only way that you get freedom is through bloodshed. And, you know, unfortunately, you have to do certain things in order to implement bloodshed. And for some reason, I think that we as a people have a fear of, you know, violence against our oppressor.
Well,
for what reason, you know, could it be that if we decide we want to murk somebody or, you know, put a burning necktie on them, that the Sky Daddy won't allow us into the kingdom, then I say F the Sky Daddy and F the kingdom.
Ashe. Well, you know, let me say it this way. You know, I think what others are doing to develop young warriors is what we need, but it's so far and few between, you know, very small. Those JEGNAs who are working with young people, particularly young men, those JEGNAs, to instill that kind of information, it's beautiful, it's great, but it's, once again, it is small in comparison to the majority of us as a people who have bought into this madness, you know, and who would be willing to do just what William O'Neill did, to infiltrate, to destroy, to discredit, to distract, you know, African people from the legitimate desire to be one, will do whatever they can. Because this system has understood that the greatest danger to them is African unity. And whatever we can do to prevent Africans on the continent and Africans in the diaspora from coming together, we will do. Whatever we can do to keep the continent of Africa divided and put in leaders, so-called leaders, that will distract the people and continue to rip them off and keep the... I mean, there is no way in hell that the African continent, with all its resources, should have the poverty that it has. No way in hell. You know, but just like that piece, you didn't get that piece, but the dude's name is Howard Nicholas. Go on YouTube and look at this cracker named Howard Nicholas, who said that we must keep Africa poor. Because if Africa recognizes its strength and takes control of its wealth, we will be poor. We will be poor. So hell with Africa.
Howard Nicholas is a white guy?
Yes.
Okay, okay, I got you now. Mm-hmm. So he's saying that the white man, we have to do whatever we have to do to keep our foot on the necks of African people, because if they ever gain control of their resources, then we would be in trouble.
Right.
I don't disagree with him. He's right.
No. Well,
I mean, problem that we have, Oshi, is that we don't accept the fact that the white man is our enemy and that he's doing everything in his power to kill us. We don't realize that he's doing everything in his power to kill us so that he could survive. So if you don't understand that, then, you know, you do what you do. You allow him to do what he do to us and say it's the Lord's will.
And see,
the Lord's will.
But see,
it's
Jay,
the Lord's will.
Jay, I agree with you, and it's not the Lord's will. It's their Lord's will.
That's what the Negro says.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
because
the Lord's will.
Right, because the Negro has accepted their theology and their Lord.
Right.
They have accepted that. You see? And so you kowtow to that. That's what I'm saying. Probably the biggest impediment for African people coming together for any kind of functional unity, is the religions that have been imposed upon us. Christianity, number one, and Islam.
Oh,
and
no
Islam,
question.
You know, and then all the other ones as well. Seventh Day Adventist, Jehovah Witness, Black Hebrew Israelites, Moore Science, all of that sugar,
you
honey,
know
iced
what
tea.
Made, you know what made the Nation of Islam so special? It was the image of
I agree.
Religion from the perspective of
right.
The black man.
Exactly.
It was totally different from that, in a sense, Europeanized and Arabized religion and all those other white man religions. It was a religion created by a black man.
Right.
To identify your blackness, in a sense, even though some of the tenets are still caught up in that Europeanized, Arabized Islam. But you know, that goes to show that what imagery is and how imagery and all of those things work in preparing you to be able to put forward your own vision. It's just like propaganda. You know, people still are not getting this thing in regards to this American Skin movie and how dangerous it is by the message that the brother put forward. It's dangerous. But see, I peeped it because I understand one thing about that Negro. He sleep white. Anytime you sleep white, you are enemy to your people. I don't give a damn who you are. I don't want to hear nothing about this Negro that's about to die, Harry Belafonte. I don't want to hear nothing about any Negro that got him a white woman on his side. Because how are you, if the time comes, you got to cut some heads, you going to cut that white woman head? How you going to cut that mutation, that mulatto, that baby of yours that's a half-breed? How you going to cut that head? Now, if you in a fully African situation, you don't have to have that type of loyalty to the cracker. So here it is, if you at the table and the ancestors say to you, anybody white in the house got to go, and it ain't the maid or it ain't the someone else, but it's your white wife and your half-breed son. If you really about revolution and liberating your people, got to kill both of them. Dr. Clark told us the most dangerous thing in the world.
The mulatto. It's a mulatto. Because, he said, what destroyed the Haitian Revolution?
The mulatto.
Because the European, the Caucasian, uses them as the buffer.
There you go.
He uses them as the buffer between the legitimate aspirations of our people and his ass.
And that's why they promote so much of what's going on TV now. Homosexuality, which is basically destroying the reproduction of a people.
Yes.
Integration, which is basically destroying the pureness of blackness. And, you know, I both know, most Negroes pick the side of the white side. Let's keep it real.
Yeah. Because that's because you're indoctrinated. That's all your ass
exactly
see. Jay, only those of us who have an African-centered mindset and understand it's rejected, the vast majority of our people do not. So we're constantly indoctrinated and inculcated with this mindset.
Yeah.
But let me read this right quick to you, Jay, because you probably didn't listen this morning at the beginning of the program.
Oh, no, I usually don't. Oh, soliloquy is a little, it is what it is.
It is what it is, but it's necessary.
I know it is.
For yesterday, February 21st, this is Baba Manahochi. Baba Manahochi was in Milwaukee. He is a priest in the Ifa. His wife gave me my name, Oshiyemi Adelabu, at an African naming ceremony, you know, and he moved here to Atlanta. But he says this: I have been studying African religions and cultures for over 60 years. He joined the ancestors of, I'd say about 15 years ago, maybe a little longer. In all of that time, I have never seen where homosexuality was condoned or promoted in any way. African religion in general and Ifa in particular promotes the relationship between men and women and the procreation of life through them. Procreation through male and female relationships is the conduit by which the ancestors return. And I'm not going to go through Baba Baruti's piece on it because, as you know, that's outstanding. But there's no question. But see, that's the point. And so when Barack came to Africa and pushing and promoting homosexuality and saying you will not get any aid from the United States unless you allow this to happen in your country. Homosexuality was something that was happening on the European continent for centuries. For centuries.
Now, let me ask you this question right quick. This is funny to me. I me and my old lady was talking about it. I had to laugh. Here it is, you a man. We were watching Joy Reid's show the other night, and she had on one of the new black gatekeeper, Negroes. My boy Ralph out in Philly, he know about him. Malcolm Kenyatta, what a hell of a name.
Malcolm Kenyatta? He's named after Malcolm X and Jomo Kenyatta?
A monkey man, twisted sister, fighting.
Okay.
So he's on TV, and they interview him. He's running for Senate and all that, right? And she says to him, now check this out. He's a monkey man, so you know what he is. She says to him, listen to the word. What do your husband think of you running for Senate? And is he ready for the one? Now, what do that imply to you, brother? Please tell me, when she says, what do your husband think? What do that imply to you?
Well, being a brother who loves African women and who understands that, it's an offense.
Hold on. You didn't say it, but let me say it for you. That implies to me, in my thinking, he's a damn woman. Because why could she say, What is your wife?
Well, see,
you may be the masculine,
right? No,
or
but see,
you applying,
right? But a lot of times,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, a lot of times with that, both of them, particularly with the males, they both mention their husband. They would say their husband, even though both of them are male. Women homosexuals rarely do that unless they're butch. They will say, I'm the man, and this is my wife.
Oshie, the point of the matter is, any way you look at it, you being emasculated.
Well, no doubt. Oh, definitely.
Any way you look
definitely.
At it, it's showing you, that it's not natural.
Right. You're saying that you have preferred a man of the same sex that you are, so you have been emasculated. You have been effeminized.
Right. Now he may be the as one would say, the butch of the relationship. His husband, now maybe if Ralph was alive, Ralph could come on and Ralph could tell us, because I know Ralph seen the husband. Do the husband look effeminate to you, or do the husband look as a husband, strong to you? I don't know. I haven't seen the two monkey men together, so I could tell you. But I mean, the point of the matter is, it just shows how the optics are being used to brainwash and confuse the people. And the thing that's so crazy is, they starting it off with the kids younger and younger. Because when I was coming up, I didn't know nothing about monkey manism. That wasn't homosexuality, freakism, or anything like that. When you saw one of the Twisted Sisters, you was always shocked by it.
Yeah.
Mommy, what is this? What kind of freak is this?
Yeah.
I remember in the store one time, I said something to my father about one of those Twisted Sisters. Yeah. And my pop smacked me upside the head. I thought I was funny. But he didn't think it was funny. It smacked the shit out of me.
Okay, JJ, hold on. I'm gonna take this call.
Is that wrong?
No, I wish it was. No. 469. Good afternoon.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you? Thank you for calling.
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Great show, like always.
I appreciate it.
I have a different little twist as to getting rid of black folk. I don't think they really want to. I think that that creates a buffer,
yeah,
because they know in and of themselves. Give you a good example, and I know you're familiar with this because you follow history. The Civil War. They killed over 500,000 people of their own. And you know that normally when you're in a war or something like that, the injuries and the ones that are maimed for life is normally about at least twice the number. So you're talking about what, like 1.5 million people? So basically what we are, we're a buffer. Let me back up. My point is this. If they didn't have black people around or anyone else around, they would destroy one another.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the world wars,
yeah,
or what they call the world wars.
Yeah.
So we're very important because we serve as a buffer for them to, mm-hmm, if we weren't here, they would destroy themselves. Now, what they have done effectively is they have basically, our birth rate has been controlled. Have you noticed that we've been 12 to 15% of the population?
Yes, I've been saying that. For a number of years.
Right.
Our birth rate has gone down. We were damn near 17%. Now we're at 13% for a number of factors, mass incarceration, homosexuality, sterilization, you name it. There's a number of factors, and you are right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So you have a birth control that set in based on those factors that you just got through saying. Then we have another group of people. You have the white people in black skin. You look at your television set now, and I don't watch a lot of it because it's too much nonsense. But if you turn your head, you can listen to a conversation. And if you turn around and look, and it's someone that's black, at least their skin tone is black anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you're doing, you don't have to necessarily eliminate all black folk, but what is that? You remember that? And I know you told me that you grew up, you were in the 50s. You remember that? I know you remember this TV show that they used to come on with, Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing to us.
That's right.
Your black face, but your mind
is white.
Your soul, your spirit, mm-hmm, is controlled by a foreign entity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on it. I don't think that they really want to get rid of us. I think that, and they're doing a very, very effective job. They want to control us and use us as that buffer. Plus, there's another added thing, my last point. We're very, very smart people. Most of the major innovations of this country have come through our minds.
Yeah.
It's just that we create it, and then they take it over and market it like they've done it, and we get nothing for it.
Exactly.
So that's my take on it. And again, okay, brother, keep on keeping on. As a matter of fact, I was listening last night to the podcast that with Renoco Rashidi.
Okay.
Remoko was interviewing you more than you were interviewing him.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's a good brother.
He's
a good brother. I've seen him several times. He, as well as and I tell you one person too, that it would be good maybe if you would play his stuff from time to time, and that's Reverend Ishaka Musa Barashango.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt.
You know, if you all,
yeah,
put on your podcast one of your commercial things, because that brother, he had it right.
Yeah, yep,
yeah,
in them white holidays.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
In fact, me and him share the same birthday.
European holidays, African mental genocide.
Yeah.
Did you listen to one? And I have to ask you this, and then I promise you, I'm going to go. Did you ever hear him talk about the fact that they had gone around and they decided that he met with a bunch of pastors and they decided that they had to get rid of this white Jesus out of the churches because of the mental right. devastation he right. was doing on the mine.
Yes.
And he said that he went and one of them, they pulled that Jesus down and the whole congregation started crying.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that shows you where we are.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you've been so indoctrinated with it that when it's taken from you, you want it back and you want it back strongly. You know, it's a right. damn shame.
And you know, and the book, you know, is saying, well, anyway, I said I was going to.
Yep.
I was going
well, listen, save it for another time. We'll be right back. Okay. What's your name, brother?
All right. Then. My name is Kevin Prince.
Kevin Prince, thank you a lot, brother, calling from Texas, right?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
I'm from East St. Louis, Illinois.
Okay.
I lived in Houston for 8 years. I lived in Dallas for 20, and I've been here now for 5.
Okay, in Tulsa, right on. Well, listen, you keep calling, and here's my number. Give me a buzz. You ready for it?
Hold on one second. Let me get a pen real quick.
Okay.
You have my number, right?
I see it. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm.
Can you text it to me?
I sure will. Then. All right, Kevin. Bye-bye. Thanks a lot. Peace to you. 464. I've only got about a minute. 464. Go ahead. 464-697. 464.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Yes, greetings. This is Taiba. I love
hey,
the show.
Hey, Sister Taiba, how are you today?
I'm blessed. It's great hearing your show. And the town, like we said earlier, the town hall meeting was really great that we had for PAFM on Saturday. I just was going to make two quick statements about we're saying that our statistics are going down, like we're down 13%. But I don't really believe those statistics.
Okay.
Because I believe that we're more than what they're saying we are. And a lot of people don't turn in those census reports. There's more black people. I think they're just trying to decrease our actual number.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. But because I think that, you know, the highest I remember saying, at least this government said, we were 17%. And that was in the 90s. And here today, 30-some years later, we're 13%. You know?
I think they try to mitigate it. And I believe we were more than that.
Yeah.
And I was agreeing with what you and Jay were saying about, you know, this how we just being bombarded with this homosexuality on TV. And so, because I like MSNBC, I seen it, and, you know, they're bombarding us with the male homosexuals and showing them getting intimate and, you know, and it's...
Sister Taiba, they're making it the norm. They're making it so success, so
right.
acceptable that, you know, it's not an adverse thing.
Us.
Right. You know, exactly. So,
and what do we do about it, though? Yeah. I mean, I know Mama Nabantu was on the air before, and she was saying that, you know, when she sees all these negativities, like they do it on the commercials, and they do it, she was saying, you know, write in and complain. I turn it off when they start doing it. I mute it and things like that. But, I mean, what would you think we should do about
well,
that?
Well, I mean, that's the best that we can do because...
I'm really tired of it, too. Well, I feel insulted by it.
Well, that's the best that we can do. I mean, because number one, it has become so accepted, and there's so many of us, and of course, living here in Atlanta, which is the capital, you know, of homosexual, American, African homosexuality, male and female, you know, and so, you know, to challenge it like that, you know, that's going to be a fight. So what you can do and what you should do is you reject it. Just like I said, you turn it off, you turn away from it, and you speak against it to the
right.
circle that you're in. That's the best you can do, you know?
I mean, and right into the shows, though, because MSNBC is making money off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think that...
Sure.
I mean, we should be, you know, protesting because they'll be thinking, oh, you know, everybody likes what they're doing. They just keep doing it. Needs to be said about it that.
It became real to me about the influence of homosexuality on a society when I was channel surfing many years ago and came upon the Emmys. And I came upon the Emmys and I stopped. And then when I saw it was appalling because these men were calling up other men. They were kissing each other because most of them are European Jews, because European Jews dominate within the entertainment industry, and particularly in the Emmys, which are, of course, the theater, you know. And these men were calling each other, and I was like, damn, and it's just so acceptable, you know. I like it back in the day when that shit was, excuse me, when that stuff was, you know, under wraps or in the closet. Yeah. Yeah. You know?
It was outlawed.
Yeah. You know? Because the more times he will see it, then the more they feel comfortable with it and accepting of it and become curious about it and become involved in it. You know?
Right.
You know?
And the politics of, like, what you were saying, like that brother that Jay was talking about, that's running for the Senate. It's just really, you know, it's problematic. They're trying to break their way into the political system and getting support. Some people supporting it, but a lot of us aren't supporting it, though.
Well, listen, you know, I got to run, dear. I'm way over of time. Yeah, but I thank you for calling always, and thank you for listening, my sister. I appreciate you.
Oh, your show is awesome. We appreciate you.
All right, dear. All right. Santi Sana. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. So brothers and sisters, I hope you enjoyed the program today. Please join us on Wednesday. And of course, any other day that we're able to broadcast and to try to put something on the minds of our people. Brothers and sisters, Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivohorie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Peace, family.